You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about something that's very important, something that is earth-shattering, something that will change your life forever if you actually do it. You know, do you know what personal boundaries are? Do you know what personal boundaries are? And do you know why you actually need them? Personal boundaries and why I need them. Why would I need personal boundaries? Well, you know, that thing called time and that other thing called energy is really important to us, right? And it's kind of limited. Like, it doesn't seem like we have enough time in the day. And I know for most people, frankly, it doesn't feel like you have enough energy. I mean, I'm always constantly going, man, I just feel so tired. It's been beaten down. I got so much going on in my life with very little time for myself. And so that already, you know, explains to me, one, my time is limited. You know, they're not making more time, so I better figure that out. My energy is just as important. Even though there's 24 hours in a day, do you have enough energy in 24 hours to stay up all day? No. Should you? No. It's not a good idea. I mean, if you have to once or twice here and there, that's one thing. But if you're constantly doing that on a daily basis, you're probably not feeling very good and you're taking your life in your own hands. So our energy and our time are important. They're important to us because that's what we have and nobody can give us more and we can't take theirs. So we have to figure out how to keep ours, reserve it for the important things, and prioritize. But a lot of times that's easier said than done. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves trying to people please, to do the right thing, to do whatever we're supposed to do what our friends need us to do what our family needs us to do. But where does that leave us? And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're going to talk about what boundaries truly are, why we actually need boundaries, who we need these boundaries for, and who do we need these boundaries between, and how to honestly execute thoughtful and authentic boundaries to empower us on a daily basis. You know, it's true.
Yes.
It's big time. You know, I have all these clients that come into my office and the first thing I talk about is boundaries, right? And you know what? They're like, whoa, what do you mean? Whoa, boundaries for what?
Because, I mean, yeah, there's physical boundaries, but there's topical boundaries, there's emotional boundaries, there's all sorts of boundaries.
Yeah, and we need these boundaries to protect our time, right? Our energy. And our physical, and you're right, Bill, our emotional space. I mean, we have to protect these things. And that's what's so key is that just as important as that is concerned, we have to have the energy to achieve our things. We have to follow the process. We have to do what's right for us. So what are boundaries? What are boundaries about? What are they? And they help us protect our time, our energy. They help us protect our day, our night, our thoughts, our dedication. I mean, how many times, Bill, has somebody come up to you and try to get you to do something that you didn't necessarily want to do?
Many times.
Like, and how does that normally work out?
Well, it depends on who's doing it. If it's a certain life coach whose initials are AB, then I usually end up doing it whether I want to or not.
I don't know who that is. I have no idea who that is.
But most of the time, see, I'm passive aggressive.
Okay.
And so a lot of times when somebody asks me to do something I really don't want to do, I will agree to do it and then, like, conveniently forget or conveniently get busy.
Right.
And end up not doing it.
You don't show. You're like, ah! So, but you don't really mean to. It's just subconscious?
Yeah,
or?
Well, sometimes I do mean to do it.
Oh, okay.
But I think a lot of times it is subconscious. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of times, too, because you're resentful of somebody taking your energy, taking your time, you know?
And not just taking, but imposing.
Imposing.
That's kind of the way I look at it sometimes. It's, you know, I've got a busy schedule. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
And so if somebody imposes upon what little free time I have, then yeah, I mean, I can resent it. Even if the request is made in all, you know, innocence, you know, they genuinely want a favor from me or need my help or something. It's like a, you know, I don't say this, but I'm in my brain, I'm going, oh, good Lord Almighty. Really?
Well, yeah. And a lot of times we don't want to say no.
Right.
Because we either we get sidetracked or we get taken. We weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to be ready to say what you have to say. Or other times we want people to like us. I mean, we are humans. You know, no man is an island. Everybody wants to have friends.
Well, and also, too, it's something you said on previous shows, which, by the way, shameless plug, go to Spreaker or iTunes or AshleyBurgess.com to listen to previous episodes of Perspectives. But, you know, you, for karma purposes, you do good for others, therefore you'll receive good in return. Maybe not directly from that same person, but eventually you'll what you put into the world is what you get out of it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, if I can possibly do it and it doesn't just, you know, take up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I don't mind helping somebody out, even if it causes some inconvenience for me. But if it will take a significant investment of time or resources, then I have to just kind of, you know, take the emotion out of it. And sometimes I've come back to him and said, you know, brother, I would love to help you out. Unfortunately, I just have too much going on right now. And I'm afraid I'm just not going to be able to do it for you.
Well, yeah. And you're straight on about that, Bill, because, yeah. You know, I think a lot of times we have trouble standing up for ourselves, right? We've all agreed to do things we don't want to do. We've all tolerated those things that we didn't want to tolerate. You know, for the most part, we do these things because we don't want to deal with the conflict. I mean, I don't know a lot of people out there that like conflict. I mean, I know a lot of people that try to avoid conflict at all costs.
Like me.
Yeah, you would avoid it at all costs.
Yes.
And even though you hold it in and you brood.
I've
seen Bill brood. We've worked together long enough that I know when he's brooding.
It's the one thing that drives Ashley just nuts.
Well, I kind of get a little scared because I know that Bill has the potential of going postal, I think. And so I really step back and go,
kerboom.
Maybe shouldn't have said it that way. I'm sorry, Bill. Apologize. You know, but the thing is that without these proper boundaries and relationships, you know what's going to happen? Conflict is going to ensue at some point. And I know that you think maybe, okay, we have to have boundaries with people we work with, and we're talking more in a working situation, but that's not always true. Yes, we need to have work boundaries, right? But we also need to have original boundaries with our friends, with our family, with our spouse, with our girlfriend, with our boyfriend, with our children, even with people in our professional life. For example, a little easy boundary that's something that I live by in what I do, okay? So everybody knows I have this syndicated talk show, and Bill and I have Perspectives, and everybody knows that. And you know that on top of that, I'm a therapist, and you know I'm also a life coach. So I got all that behind me as well. And when I deal with clients in the very beginning, I'm very upfront with people because I want people to get the best care. And I want people to feel and to know that I care about their journey from where we're at now to where they want to be at, okay? And one of the biggest things is I always give out my cell phone number. And a lot of people argue that this is a good idea or not. But I do it because, for example, if last minute something comes up and they need to reach me because they can't make an appointment with 20, you know, with a certain advance notice, that's a boundary. They can contact me. They can text me and let me know. If for some reason a lot of people have a lot of difficult work schedules, if they're running a few minutes, they can let me know as well. Also, if there's something that they forgot or something they left out or a new piece of information that they realized when they got home after their meeting, they can text me that too. And that's awesome. However, there's always that client that uses the cell number for something totally different. Okay? It always happens.
You know, to all of a sudden now you're that person's best friend.
Oh, that, you know, or
and
they're going
to
start...
They want to gab, and they want to gossip, and, you know...
Oh, yeah, or they think that it's okay to cancel an appointment with an hour lead time.
Ah, yes.
Because I have her cell number. You know, there's another boundary that's the professional boundary that you have to watch out in the therapy type scenario, is that if you actually... Somebody asks you a lot of questions about your personal life, how far do you go? Because a lot of times when people are in your office and they don't want to talk about things because they're upset by them, they'll try to deflate them and turn them to you. And a lot of times you have to sit there and say, hey, this isn't my appointment. This is yours. Let's refocus. But sometimes I can use some personal, some personal ideas and some personal things about my personal life to help push them over the hump of where they're at. And I'm not like a lot of therapists where they sit there and they get all weird about it. You know, like, I'm not going to talk about my private life at all. And I think that sometimes you have to be able to communicate and you have to be able to connect with people. Otherwise, you know what? Treatment's not going to work. However, boundaries in all these contexts are based on an emotional and a physical space between you and another person, okay? And a lot of times, we don't realize that we have these cycles of unhappiness and unhealthy living. And the only way that we can stop this cycle is to learn how to set healthy boundaries, okay? The purpose of a boundary here is to protect and take care of us. We must be able to set boundaries, okay, and stick to our boundaries. So a lot of times we can set these great boundaries up and they sound really good and they're highfalutin and they're very technical and then we don't stick to them. And we let people run right all over us. And yep. Guess what that says? Your boundaries mean nothing.
So it's like it might as well be an open door with a welcome mat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And everything I just said, just forget because it doesn't matter. And, you know, a lot of times we have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to protect ourselves. However, we don't do it. And we don't take that personal responsibility for how others treat us. And, you know, everybody sits there and says, well, so-and-so treated me with disrespect. So-and-so was disrespectful to me. When was the last time you heard that, Bill? When so-and-so was disrespecting me?
A specific instance doesn't come to mind, but I know I've heard it.
A million times.
Right, yes.
Well, and especially for everybody out there listening, you know, you've had a spouse, you've had your spouse come home, or your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or whoever telling you that somebody disrespected them. Okay. The thing about a boundary is that it's taking personal responsibility for how others treat us. Okay. When you have proper boundaries, people don't disrespect you anymore.
Right.
Okay. Because you don't let them.
Not only having the proper boundaries, but they know that you enforce those boundaries.
And when you enforce them and you do, yeah. And sometimes that means eliminating people from your life.
You know what comes to mind from a different context? Remember Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men? Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, we live in a world surrounded by walls. And those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. You know? And of course, that's horrible Jack Nicholson impression, but still.
Go bless you, though, Bill.
But it's a movie I saw. I thought I'd impress you with that.
I know. Bill saw a movie.
I've seen a movie.
See? And that's the thing is that we have the right and obligation to yell like Jack Nicholson. No, to speak up, really. And in hopes of changing the situation. Think about it. If you actually have boundaries that are quality boundaries that you hold up to and you live by, people can't disrespect you. People can only disrespect you if you allow them to disrespect you. People can only put you down if you allow them to. People can only talk you into things if you allow them to talk you into things. There's no, they're not over there old Swami. They're not over there doing, a Jedi mind trick to you. I mean, you have to jump in the plate and go, okay, yeah, I'll do that. That sounds okay. So in return, we're talking more about what boundaries are and why we need them. And who we specifically need them with. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm ready to fly.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about personal boundaries and why they're so important. You know, why are boundaries important, and when do we need to actually use them? You know, it's interesting to me, and I like to talk about this because, being a counselor and all that kind of stuff, you get to meet with several clients, and most of them don't have boundaries in their life. They don't use them. They have relationships that are completely skewed. They have relationships that are professional and personal and this and that, all wrapped up in one relationship, and they wonder why things get a little weird. They wonder why things get a little odd. How come this person's treating me like this? And it's like, well, they're your doctor and you're sleeping with them. That's going to be a problem.
Or your boss and you're sleeping with him or her.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue. So then you have issues with the way they treat you at work. But yet y'all are still having like sex on his desk. So we got to literally sit there and figure out these problems, okay? Because one thing is that one side of you is not going to be happy with the way the other person reacts, as well as you have no boundaries.
It's like, because I've been involved with a coworker before, biggest mistake I ever made. Mm-hmm. I would really discourage our listeners, don't get involved with someone you work with, at least that you work with on a least a semi-regular basis. You know, now if it's somebody in a completely different department that you don't really see them, you know, all that much, if at all, that's one thing. But, I mean, you know, like if you're in that specific office with that person and you have to see them on a daily basis.
Oh, I had a client that came in about 6 months ago, and God bless her, and she was married, children, and has had an affair with the guy that shares her office in a big company.
Good. Probably not because good. She sees more of him than she does her own husband.
And she wanted to see more of him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She wanted to see a lot more of him. But yeah, that doesn't end up working out very well, okay? And so honestly, you're right. It's about figuring out, first off, where we need the boundaries. But, you know, what are our life priorities, Bill? You know, because that's one of the things. Let's talk about our priorities real quick. It's not really necessarily a tangent. This is really applicable. What are your top priorities in your life? Well, the top three. Can you think of the top three?
Yes, I can. I would say God, because, you know, I'm a religious person.
Okay.
My family. My career.
Okay, awesome. So, like a lot of people listening tonight, when you're thinking about these life priorities, a good idea is to write them down. What's most important? You know, is it your spouse? Is it your family? Is it God? Is it friends? Is it pets? Is it home? Is it your health? Is it job? Is it your career? Is it money? Is it charity? Or is it fun? Is it relaxation? These are the top priorities I believe exist, okay? And I believe they can be in any order that you choose. So when we think about this, we have to create boundaries when we're trying to figure out our life priorities, and we have to give our priorities the most time and energy in our life, okay? If you don't have time and you don't have energy to take care of your priorities, then where are you at? Okay, if you don't have the time and energy because you're out doing something else that you can't show up for work and therefore you can't pay your bills and therefore you can't put food on the table, there's a problem. We have a priority issue. We have to figure out what boundaries and where the boundaries need to be activated. And I think the places that we put our boundaries are with friends, okay? Friendships are a big deal. There's boundaries that need to be placed on friendships a lot. And a lot of times we don't do that because we meet people very fast and it's a fast, quick friendship. And you don't really think about the boundaries that are needed.
You know, have you ever heard the old saying, Ashley, good fences make good neighbors?
I think I have.
You know, and you're not trying to be unneighborly. I mean, you know, okay, a fence doesn't have to be like a, you know, 20-foot high stone wall with a moat.
That'd be kind of expensive.
Yeah, it would be, you know, just
a lot of concrete involved.
It would, and you know, upkeep on the moat.
Oh, moat.
Especially if you have crocodiles in them, you know, they have to be fed.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
But
some of the new studio.
So, I mean, you're not being unneighborly or unfriendly by having fences, but, you know, there does need to be some space.
Yes.
And, you know, where, okay, you know, if you're a friend with your neighbor, that doesn't give you the right to, you know, just peek over into his backyard anytime you want to. You know, there's some privacy issues there.
See his wife suntanning naked out
right.
in the backyard?
You know, I mean, unless you're swingers. I mean, but
and then there's no boundaries, really.
Right, exactly.
We've smeared the boundaries from neighbor to friend to sex partner to
yeah, I mean, but if you wouldn't allow your friend to view your significant other, your spouse,
right.
that way, then why, you know, is it okay for you to do it? So I think among friends, you know, it's you know, good fences make good neighbors. There, even among the best of friends, there still needs to be some boundaries. Like, you know, with Jen, I mean, she's my girlfriend, but she's also my best friend. But I also know that there are certain subjects where it's like, sweetie, do you want to talk about that? You know, I mean, I don't just wade in.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I respect her space.
See, and that's respectable. And those are the things, those are about boundaries. And we have to create them in our friendships, in our marriage, with our girlfriend, with our boyfriend, with work is a big deal, associates, and particularly family. And I know a lot of people listening don't see eye to eye with their family. And there are some issues there. Whether it's political stance, whether it's thought stance, whether it's their life stance. You know, sometimes family's not cool with you being your authentic self. You know, they might call you crazy or hippie or something like that when all you're doing is you're living your peaceful life and you don't care about what they're living. But at the same time, you have to put down boundaries to explain to them that you're not interested in hearing them diarrhea of the mouth all day long about how bad your life is and how stupid you are and how you put yourself in harm's way. And I know people all the time that are still dealing with their mother and dad issues because mom and dad won't shut up and keep telling them they're living the wrong life.
And on, like you said on a previous show, it's you know, they keep telling you what you should be doing, what you need to be doing.
Yes.
And you know, that they won't, you know, cut the apron string.
Yes.
I found that that's where a lot of issues between parents and grown children crop up. It's the parents don't want to let go, and the children don't know how to, you know, basically, you know, like they don't have the guts, I guess.
That's true.
To just like say, okay, you know, this is my life, I'm living it, and you can either respect it or don't.
I have friends that are in their 50s that still are fighting with parents.
Right.
Okay. And it's not, there's no age. I don't think it's not about age, but it is about eventually you have to realize, you know, what is it? How do you tell mom and dad, hey, I've had enough. You know what I mean? I love you and everything. I'm not over there, you know, jacking up your life. I'm not over there analyzing everything you're doing. You know, I mean, you know, example, there's a couple of times in my past where my dad would, you know, get on to me about something. And we have, our relationship is completely different based on proper boundaries now. And once I got to a certain age, I was like, you know, hey, I know that you were my dad and all, but, you know, I'm an adult. And these are the things that I believe in. These are the things that's important to me. And we both sat down and talked about it. And so, you know, he and I don't question each other or any of our choices at all, period. No choice questioning, not at all. Because you know why? We both respect each other. We might not accept the choice, but we don't talk about it because guess what? That's not part of our relationship. And that's one of the best things we ever did. But you know what's weird about it is most people don't have any boundaries in place. Most people, they get angry and they get upset about how they're being treated, but you know what? There's no boundaries. There's not a boundary one. And you know, I think a lot of times people don't really know how to set boundaries. I'm sure that you realize that you've needed some in the past. I'm sure that you sat back and said, man, I wish I would have said this instead of gotten myself into all that hell, but I didn't. And I think that, you know, when we're setting our personal boundaries, you know, because we've all been in our life, we've all done things, and we've all become resentful from things that we've done just to be the yes man, just to be the people pleaser, or to be the best friend, or to win points, or what have you. And we become resentful because we're not working on our own stuff. We're not working on our own life. We're not taking care of our own business. I've been there a dozen times where I'm over there dealing with somebody else's stuff, trying to help them out, and I got like 15 fires going on at one time. The phone's blowing up. I got all this stuff going on, and I'm like, why did I take on one more thing? Why did I do it? Why did I do it to myself?
Because, you know, you just kind of impulsively, you know, and took it on and didn't really think about it. And you know, I can remember, you know, in previous episodes where you were talking about, you know, just taking on too much stuff and not really taking the time to kind of think out, okay, how many hours in the day, how much stuff have I got going on here? You know, maybe I need to set a boundary.
Yeah, like when you find yourself in the situation, you know, a lot of times we tend to get angry, but we don't change our ways. We just get mad, right? Doggone it, you know, and you know, you just get angry about stuff, you get upset, and you don't change your ways. But the next time we find ourselves in a similar situation, understand that the situation doesn't help anyone, right? So think about this. When we agree to do something and we don't have time or energy to do it, but we still have to try to figure it out and we still haven't placed any boundaries and we still don't tell the truth about how we feel, we have resentment and we get angry and the project or whatever needs to be done gets done half-ass. And why does it get done that way? Because we don't have that much time. We're not wanting to really do it and we're wanting to just get by, just get it done. I mean, we're stuck in the situation where we're like, God, I just wish I could get it over with. And so nothing is getting the right attention it needs. And so everybody's losing out. When in all actuality, all you had to do is just come up with a certain boundary to help you put things into perspective, to put things into scope. And I think a lot of times we also don't communicate or we don't ask for information before we say yes, right? So, like, for example, let's say Bill says, hey, Ashley, can you come over to my house and help me move something?
Which, by the way, that question's coming. Because I'm moving.
I'm psychic, by the way. Okay, so he says, hey, can you come over and help me move something? And I go, okay. Instead of saying, okay, Bill, what all are we moving? What needs to be done? How much work is this? How many rooms of furniture are need to be moved? I could be thinking that he needs to move, like, a printer. So we're going to go over there and move one little object, when in actuality, this is a two-day deal. okay?
Yeah, moving the entire living room.
Yeah, yeah.
Including the printer.
And he's moving everything, everything down to everything. And that's the key, is a lot of times we don't ask questions. We don't get facts. We walk into it blind, and then we get angry that we've walked into it. Because we look and we go, oh my God. If I would have known this, I would have never said yes.
Do we have time? I've got a short little example in my own life.
Well, let's go. Let's hear it when we come back from the break.
Okay.
So when we return, we're going to be talking more about dealing with having the right boundaries. We're going to find out Bill's recent situation that he, I'm assuming, didn't ask all the right questions. Or maybe didn't ask any and walked in there unarmed. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about personal boundaries and why we need them. You know, when we do something, we should want to do it. We should be positive participants in the process, right? But sometimes we don't always know what we're committing to. We don't know the scope. We don't know the scale of the commitment. You know, in every situation, we must fully discuss the project and understand what is involved to carry out the process and that project. And right before the break, Bill was wanting to talk about a situation he found himself recently in. And I think this might go along just directly with what we're talking about.
Well, recently, I've been within the year.
Okay.
And it has to do with moving, actually. So I have a really good friend, and we've gotten pretty close, you know, kind of brother-sister type. You know, relationship. You know, I met her in college, and we just hit it off. She was moving, and so and of course I have a pickup, right? So I figured that, you know, she'd be around to ask me to move, and that's fine. I prepared for it. So she goes, okay, tell you what, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, be here. And at the most it'll take 2 or 3 hours, because I've already got the U-Haul, and we'll use your truck. We'll get it over there. Okay, hey, great. You know, I'm there. I show up Saturday morning, not a thing packed, not a box, not a suitcase, nothing. Okay?
Yeah. So you assumed that all the boxes were going to be packed, and you were just sticking them on the truck in the U-Haul.
And I was just thunderstruck.
That's the assumption, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, the word assume makes an ass of you and me, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I was just thunderstruck and just didn't know what to say. And she, you know, just looks at me like, okay, well, you know, grab a box and let's get started, you know? And so later that day,
Later.
Yeah, hours later, after I had kind of recovered, you know, my temper.
Right.
Boy. She had the decency to feed me. Let's put it that way.
That's good.
So I said, I got to let you know, I'm just furious with you. Why? Because you've just been jerking around all week. You didn't start packing anything. If you want somebody to help you move, you need to have the stuff already packed. You didn't tell me I had to help you pack.
What'd she say?
And she says, "Well, I've never packed on my own before. I didn't think I had to ask you. I just thought you knew."
See, and that's the key.
You know, yeah.
You thought you were going in for a couple hours just to move some stuff, stick it on a U-Haul, and be done with it, right?
Right.
And then that's the key, is that in order to make a commitment, right, we have to choose wisely with clear thought and honest purpose. And when we go into something blind like that, we're going to cause chaos and anger. And you were pissed.
Oh, I was beyond pissed. I mean, because like I said, I mean, I was pretty good friends with her. And it honestly did not occur to her to spell it out, because, every other time she's ever moved, it's always been her mom and her stepdad and her, you know, brothers and sisters. And, they came and took care of little Whitney.
Yeah.
And, boxed everything up and, you know, basically told her what to do. And that wasn't possible this time, you know, which is why
Became the family member, and she just assumed everything was just going to be fine. And you're right. When you have like a million things to do like we do, and everybody listening also has a million things to do, and you take on something else that you don't need to be doing, which is what we do a lot, right? We do this often. You're going through the motions, though. You're probably overwhelmed. Like in Bill's case, he was resentful of the situation. And overall, we're doing nobody good. We're doing nothing good for nobody, especially ourselves, right? We're especially ourselves. And it's not another person's fault that we become overwhelmed or resentful for taking on another project. You know, because we had no business of taking it on in the first place.
Right.
That's the key, is that in order, when we have good boundaries, the first thing that, this is a good example. So Whitney calls Bill and says, Bill, hey, I need you to help me move. It's only going to take a few hours. And in that case, yes, okay, you like your friend, you're good friends with them, you've always been there for each other.
Right.
But then the next question might be, okay, so let me know, what have you done? What's been taken care of so far? In this case, she would have said nothing. I have the U-Haul. And you would have said, have you done any boxing or anything? She would have said no. And then you could have put more into perspective, do I have 14 or 16 hours?
It took 14 hours.
I was close, wasn't I?
It took 14 hours.
I should be guessing weights at the carnival.
You should.
Anyway, and I really can't.
Or lottery numbers.
I'm praying that happens sometime.
Right.
So yeah, so think about it. I mean, so if you would have known that it's 14 hours down, 14 hours, would you taken that on? Had you even taken it on and said, okay, I will help you, you would have known that you were getting into a 14-hour commitment.
Had I known what I was getting myself into, I would have said, you know, Whitney, I really don't know how, you know, what you want to do with your stuff. How you want to pack it and all that good stuff. So why don't you get it boxed up and packed?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're ready for the heavy lifting,
I'll help you then.
You know, then call me, and that's when I'll come over, and we'll do all the heavy lifting.
And you could have put everything in perspective at that point.
Yeah.
And determine if that's something you could do, determine how much you could help. And then, yeah, and also kind of formulate a plan, and that would have saved your time and energy, because you could have gotten over there, and the packing would have been done.
Because my girlfriend was royally pissed at me.
Oh, I bet. You're supposed to be back in a couple hours,
right.
And instead, you're back at midnight.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed out on anything that I had agreed to do with you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she
right?
was not happy with me.
So she wasn't happy.
That was not one of my better days as a boyfriend.
And I think the next time that you have to take on another project, you want to carefully evaluate the work that you've already done and the work that's also in front of you. And also remember, everybody listening, before you agree to the action, it's best to think about the project, the time it's going to take you, and to get back to the person the next day. And that's something I like to talk about, is to sleep on it. Think about it overnight. So you're not just agreeing just to agree. Because a lot of times we fall into that category, oh, well, I better make a decision right now. And that's not true. You don't have to make a decision right now. It's not, there's not, you know, the Jeopardy's like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. No, it's not doing that. You have time. Somebody's asking you for a favor. Somebody's asking you to do something. And to honestly understand what's needed of you, you need to maybe sleep on it and then ask some questions later. Because it's better to say no than to take on something that's going to make you feel resentful toward that person. It's going to make you feel stressed out. It's going to make you stressed out and ultimately cause a rift. Okay? It's going to ultimately cause a rift between you and that person. It always does. And I mean, in that situation, you probably got past it because that's a good friend of yours.
Oh, yeah, I was mad at her for a day, then it was back to normal.
But you were mad, but some people that can cause, especially if it's not a relationship of somebody that you haven't known for very long, that can ruin that relationship. That can end it. Okay, for anybody that's been in a relationship where they just recently met somebody a few months ago, you're not best friends, okay, and somebody pulls that on you, that normally can put a rift in there.
Then, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, okay, well, see you around, nice knowing you. Which, by the way, this story has a happy ending. A few months ago, the next time she moved, she learned her lesson. She had her crap packed.
Oh, really?
Ready to go.
And so all you had to do is put the boxes in.
All you had to do is put
the... Did she call you and tell you that?
Yep.
See?
And she said, you know what? I remember from last time, so I've spent the whole week, you know, boxing stuff up. Good for you.
And she knew what was expected of her.
Right.
And because of she knew what was expected of her, and then she knew what you would expect. Okay, so that goes back to even the whole idea of disrespecting. When somebody knows where you stand and what you will accept, and in this case, what you're not going to accept, they rise to the top, they rise to the par, and they know exactly what I'm going to do. So in this case, it wasn't that she had Bill come back over again, all completely unpacked, because you know that's not going to work, because you're not going to accept that, because that's your boundary.
Right.
Okay, and that's what's key about boundaries, is everybody that's knowing and thinking about, okay, when was the last time I was in a situation that caused me pain, or strife, or stress, or I let somebody walk all over me. So why did you let that person walk all over you? And why didn't you stand up for yourself? And why wasn't there any boundaries in place that the person knows that they can't walk all over you? This is obviously something that's happened over and over again. I mean, this is a trend. It's a pattern. So think about this. If you're a parent and you go to Target or Walmart wherever, the grocery store, and you have a young kid in you know, with you at the store and sitting in the cart, and you're pushing the cart and you're getting whatever you're getting, and your kid sees something that they want and grabs it from off the shelf or whatever. Mom. And I want this. And, you know, we've all seen those kids, even if you don't have these kids and you've trained your kids very well, or your kids are grown and off to school or what have you. But we've all seen these kids and they freak out. And you see the kids screaming, wanting whatever it is and yelling at mom. And mom finally gives in. But you know why that is? It's because mom's always given in. There are no boundaries. And then you see the kid that might say something or might scream for like 1 minute, but knows that they have to be quiet because it's not going to go over.
Because the parent gives him or her that look.
Oh, yeah. Like knows, nope, this isn't going to happen.
And says, you know, that's enough. And the child may, you know, may not understand the exact words, you know, depending on how old he or she is. But they certainly recognize the tone of voice.
Oh, and kids know how, and kids, like anybody, knows how to run over you if you don't have boundaries.
Absolutely.
Okay, kids do it very well.
A child will pick up on that fast. I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, they can see the fear.
Yep.
They can see the fear in your eyes. They know it. They know you're going to back out. She's going to back down. Just give it another second. Let me whine a little bit more. And you know when kids have been trained that they can do that because it works every time. And it's not until you have to go backwards, okay? Because this is what happens with a lot of parenting, is they realize they've trained this kid to be completely all about self, to be a very selfish child. And one day they go, oh God, I've got to stop doing this. I got to stop giving in to my kid. Okay, what do I do? And usually those people come to me and we talk about it. And as we're in therapy, I say, okay, well, now you're going to have to retrain this kid for 4 years of bringing them up this way, and you're going to retrain them. And they say, how hard is this? I go, this is going to take you at least a few months, okay? Because you've ingrained this. You've ingrained this. This whole life of this child has been brought up with the fact that everything they want, they always get. So you know what? The first few times that this happens, it's going to be painful. It's going to be really painful because there's going to be a bunch of people watching you, and the kid's going to be screaming, and the kid's going to freak out, and you're going to have to stick to your boundaries and stick to your ticket and step up to the plate and say, no. No, you're not getting that. Be quiet, sit down, and we are going to be quiet in the store. And you're going to have to yell it over and over and over again. You have to keep your cool, okay? Anytime with boundaries, no matter if you're talking to kids or adults, you want to keep your cool.
Which, by the way, just as a quick side note, you know, do not spank your children in public. You know, I mean, a lot of people say don't spank your children at all, but especially don't spank them in public. That's just a no-no nowadays.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Huh.
That's just that's one of those societal changes, you know, that you're going to get a whole lot of trouble if you spank your kids in public.
Well, but I'll give you another flip to that too, though, is that being careful is that, you know, you have to think about it just like a dog and a child. If you wait too long to say you did something wrong, if you wait too long to get to basically say, hey, you know, no, you're not going to do this, no, you've done this wrong, there's a lag time.
Right.
And there's not an understanding of why you're mad. So realize that at the time that something's happened, you have to stick to your ticket. You have to tell the kid that, no, they're not going to get this. You have to step up to the plate and do this. This is a boundary, even if you're having to rewrite boundaries, okay? And the more you do it, and the more cool the cucumber you keep of yourself, and you
say that fast three times,
the
actually.
Cool cucumber you keep to yourself, you'll figure this out, because eventually it gets easier and easier and easier. Eventually, the kid learns that they have to respect you, and they know that this is the way it's going to happen, and this is the law, and this is the gospel, and this is what I have to do now, because mom and dad have made changes to what they used to agree to. And when we return, we're going to be talking about how you can use these same boundaries when you're dealing with your friends and family, because most of us have to retrain them because we've never had boundaries our whole life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I could lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You were talking tonight about personal boundaries. about how to create personal boundaries, about how to deal with things, about how to actually keep your time and energy, and how to do what you want to do instead of what you get kind of rooked into doing. You know, right before the break, I was talking about children. And a lot of times when we become pushovers for our children and we let them do whatever they want to do, we eventually one day realize that we've turned our kids into ungrateful savages. That they don't care about us at all. That in the actuality, that all they do is they want is something. And because we've always given them everything they've ever wanted, it becomes a problem. And so when we have to try to remap this relationship with our child, we have to actually reteach and create boundaries. We actually have to create them. And then we have to execute them. And we have to stick to our guns. And we have to do it under calm circumstances. And we have to be in charge from the power position. And when you think about that, and you think about it in the terms of children and parents, take it to another level and think about it with your friends, with your mom and dad, with your family members, with your wife or husband, with coworkers. Think about it. Most of the time, we haven't created any boundaries, so we have to create boundaries in the middle of this friendship, in this middle of this relationship. And the reason why it's hard is because we've been living life without them the whole time, that we finally try to put them into play, and the other person's like, whoa, 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 what's going on? I don't know if I like this. What is this? Are you upset? Are you turning over a new leaf? Did you go to some self-help conference last weekend? Is that what this is all about? Oh, pretty little girl went to a self-help conference last week. And so this is going to all go away in 2 days. So fine. Sure, whatever your boundaries are, let's go with them. So you get away with getting these boundaries out there and you figure it out. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to follow through with that. You know, in Bill's recent situation, His better half, his other half, wanted him to go on an outing with 12 other people when he thought they were going to go on a date together.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I'll see you tomorrow. I'm not going to do that. And then she called up and said, I don't understand why. Why? Are you mad at me? Are you mad at me?
Yeah, she said it that pathetic. Are you mad at me?
You don't want to go. You don't go with us. And so instead of giving in like most of us would because we don't have any boundaries, they'll say, no, I don't want to. I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in the fact that you did that. And I thought we were going to hang out, but it's fine. I will see you tomorrow. Okay? And that's what we have to do in life. Because if you don't, you get run over. The other person doesn't respect you that much. And you become a target in a way. And it's not like a thing like they're out to get you. It's not like they're like, I'm out to get him. No, it's more like they just know that you're just going to be, you know, easily just ran over. And that is not a very sexy, appealing look.
No, it's not.
It's not. I mean, if you want to get respect, if you want to have sex appeal, if you want to be somebody's everything, the last thing you do is give them everything, okay? Because there's nothing to give anymore. Eventually, they've completely run over you because you have no boundaries. I mean, I see people all the time that I watch from a distance that literally, I can't even believe it. I mean, I can't believe how women allow other women to call them B-I-T-C-Hs. They allow it. They allow it to be talked.
And not just allow it, but actively participate and encourage it.
Oh, it's like, I mean, why don't y'all just call each other whores, for goodness sake?
And sometimes they do.
And that's okay.
What up, ho? You know?
Well, I know. It's like you have no boundaries whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, if somebody calls me anything but my name or sweetheart, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're not going to do that, though, because I've never allowed it. However, if you're coming from that place where you've allowed things to be said to you that aren't really that good, you need to back it up and explain yourself and say, hey, I'm not going to accept that anymore. You know, I mean, that was funny. That was fun in games, but that's really not going to go over very well anymore. And if somebody keeps pushing your buttons, you realize that they really don't care about you. Okay. It's not that, you know, they might fall into the old, well, you've been doing this for so long, I forgot. That's one thing. But you have to stand up to your boundaries. You can't let people run all over you because guess what? It's not appealing. It's not attractive. And, you know, a lot of times, too, we have to establish these new boundaries in these old relationships that, quite honestly, if you think about it, when you start, you know, establishing these boundaries, a lot of times those relationships will fall apart.
Yep.
Because they were using you. Because they were, quite honestly, using you.
And it was a one-sided relationship. It was like a parasite, almost. A parasite and a host.
Yeah, and you know people like that.
Yes, I do.
Where it's constantly something that they need all the time.
I had a friend like, a quote-unquote friend like that once upon a time.
Oh, I've had friends like that. Yep. I mean, I've had friends like that where it's like they didn't move one time, they moved 10 times. You know, I've had friends that, you know, they don't need to borrow $10, they need to borrow your car for a week. You know, I've had friends that literally, and then turn around and wreck your car. Oh, sorry, man. You know, it just things happen, you know, and you're just like, whoa, this isn't even at all possible. You know, I remember one time somebody needed to borrow my car and my phone.
Ugh.
Okay, and this was back in the day when I had obviously no boundaries whatsoever. And I said, oh, I don't really feel comfortable with this.
And your slinky for a spine gave way.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't feel comfortable with this. And a real friend would have said, you know what? Okay. You know what I mean? I don't want to overstate my boundaries. But again, I allowed it all to happen because I said, I don't really feel comfortable, but okay, don't hurt my car and please don't lose my phone. Okay?
Because you really wanted this person to like you.
Oh, I did. And I said, please don't lose my phone and don't wreck my car. And I said, how long are you going to be? Oh, I'll be an hour and a half. Don't worry. An hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours later goes by. They finally show back up. And they're acting very strange.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
And I said, oh, my God, my car. They're like, no, your car is fine.
Your car is fine.
And I go, okay, let me get my phone back. They're like, yeah, about the phone.
Comes
to light that they had left the windows down when they had gone when they had gone into the Quick Mart, okay, to get their cigarettes and what have you. And my phone got stolen from inside the car.
Yep.
Okay, note to self, that's an expensive lesson.
Yes.
Okay, I know a lot of people out there can acknowledge the fact that you have learned these expensive lessons before. You've learned them a lot. And some of us learn them every day.
Tuition in the school of hard knocks is what my grandmother calls it.
Gosh, that's expensive, isn't it?
Yep.
And so instead of learning it the hard way and having to go through all this, why don't we set the boundaries today? Begin today with people that you love, that you still want in your life, but you need to create these boundaries, because without these boundaries, you're going to have resentment and you're going to have anger that takes part of what the love used to be, okay? Because you can't love somebody that walks all over you, and you can't love someone that lets you walk all over them. So tonight we're talking about creating power, understanding that you have personal power, that nobody can talk you into anything, that you have to talk yourself into. Okay? Nobody can talk you into anything. Nobody can tell you that you're going to drop everything and come help them. Nobody can tell you that you're supposed to give them your phone and your car and do all that stuff. No, you don't have to do that. And, you know, they shouldn't even ask. But if they have to ask, that means that you don't have clear boundaries. I don't have a friend now that asked to borrow my car. I don't have a friend now that asked to borrow my phone, okay? Clearly, I must have a level of boundaries and a level of ethics that people don't want to pierce at. I've also graduated to a level to be around people that don't need to borrow my phone and don't need to borrow my car.
You stop surrounding yourself with those kind of people.
Yeah, because guess what? I got power now.
Yep.
When you don't have power and you want everybody to like you, you'll take anybody. Oh, well, so-and-so likes me, and that's good. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, he just got out of jail, you know, a couple weeks ago, but at least we're good friends, and he likes me. And you don't even think about the quality of the people you're hanging out with because mm-hmm. you got no boundaries.
Right.
You don't even have personal boundaries for yourself. You don't even have a higher standard of living for yourself. You're not even living authentically because you're living for other people. I mean, it's easier to sit there and live for other people. Okay. But there comes a time when you have to be authentic and say, what matters to me? I know that my time and my energy is limited. I understand that the important things in my life are specific important things, and I have responsibilities, and I have levels of importance in my life, and I have things in my life and life priorities that may be different from others, and that those life priorities take first hand. They take the first seat. They don't take back seat to what's important in my life. And once you realize your priorities and you realize that by being authentic, you might have to say no. And by being authentic, you might have to divide up the friendship, the relationship, the career, the job, the girlfriend. You might have to divide up things and explain, hey, I love you and everything, but I'm not going to accept this type of behavior from you. Or I'm not going to accept this from you because I think that I deserve better. And I think that you are better. And I'm tired of being walked on. And you have to stick to your ticket. You have to stick to your proverbial boundary guns. Yeah. to make anybody respect you.
Because the first time you give way, even just a little bit.
Done deal.
Then that person will forever. Like, okay, well, you know, they don't really mean it.
Oh, yeah. They'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, you were going through a phase.
Yeah.
I've had clients that come in here and literally put their foot down when it comes to their husband or wife, when they go back to their house and they put their foot down. And, you know, that's good and fun and dandy, but apparently they've never really kept their foot down on boundaries. So they just think that eventually in a couple of days it's going to stop. And this is all a bad dream. And then somebody got a little power for a little while, but then they've realized their place again. So how does that feel for you to realize that most people think that you have a place? And most people think that you'll stick and stay in your place. And your place is a very powerless place because you give way to everybody. How does that make you feel to realize that people are really preying on you to get out, to stay in your place? That should make you angry to a degree. And it should inspire you to realize that people pleasing doesn't help you. Just because you know more people and just because you do everything for everybody and they walk all over you, it's not a good look. And on top of that, if that is not your priorities and those people are not your top priorities, you need to look at yourself and look yourself in the mirror and say, why am I putting that person ahead of my happiness, ahead of my family, ahead of my household? That's a good question. And when we analyze that, you know, begin looking at some personal reflection. You know, write down some things. Do you sometimes feel that you put yourself on the back burner? When have you done that lately? With who? You know, maybe you might want to also look and see when was the last time that you agreed to do something and didn't follow through because you're already too overcommitted. Or when was the last time, better yet, that you agreed to do something and you followed through, but you regretted it and you hated it? And with who was that with? And you might start seeing a pattern of particular people in your life that you really need to create boundaries with, or you need to rethink these relationships because you're being walked all over. We have a great show coming up for you later on. And you know what? I hope that this show has helped you to figure out what positive and personal boundaries can do for your life. Great show, Bill.
Thank you very much, Ashley. A great show. I learned a lot.
Have a good night and create those boundaries and keep on living. Take care, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.